Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new episode of The Compromise with Alyssa Miller and Keenan Skelly. Join your hosts as they examine the latest cybersecurity news from various intersecting viewpoints. Where do our worlds collide, and where can we find common ground? It's all in The Compromise. These discussions are never boring, as we can always learn from each other's perspectives. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hello!
We're here!
We're here!
We're like really here!
Oh my gosh, we're here! We did it!
This is awesome!
Okay, for all of the listeners out there, thank you for turning in to our very first live podcast called The Compromise, where Alyssa and I will really dig deep and talk about some of the amazing cyber issues that are happening right now and our different perspectives on what should be done about them and how they should be handled. You know, something that's really interesting to me is that we seem to have, as a culture, kind of lost this whole capability to have an argument and then to come to a compromise and then to work on something together. And I think it's super important, especially in cybersecurity. So I'm stoked about this, Alyssa. How about you?
I'm thrilled. And you hit it right on the head. I mean, so for our listeners out there, what we discovered was that even between us, Keenan and I, we have very different perspectives just on how to address a lot of the cybersecurity problems that plague us society-wide, right? I mean, so Keenan, very well-schooled in government and DOD perspectives. Me, I come from that corporate perspective and really big enterprises. Keenan's got more of that focus in kind of entrepreneurship and what that looks like. And so we bring all this together and realize that there are really important discussions that have to happen here, because at times, yeah, those worlds collide. But at other times, there's a lot of intersectionality in how we address our cybersecurity challenges. And this show is all about digging into that. So you might hear us argue once in a while. You might hear us.
It's okay, though. We're not mad. We're not mad.
We'll take jibes at each other. It's all right. By the end of it, we'll be hugging and smiling and right back at it, because that's what it's all about, the compromise.
Absolutely. And, you know, so we talked about this a little bit earlier today. Our focus for this podcast is definitely going to be kind of recent news and things that are happening in recent news that are important and impactful. And we were kind of, you know, what should we settle on? Because the last week, the last 2 weeks have been a little bit crazy in the media. Just, I don't know, a little bit crazy. But, you know, something that we talked about that we think is really important is when we're dealing with this sort of abortion ban in Texas right now. I don't know if everybody, the listeners, know this, but we can provide a few links. One of the things that happened as a part of this abortion ban going live is they put together a website for people to actually report on people that were getting abortions or were assisting other people getting abortions. And it's kind of scary and horrifying. So we're going to dig into that a little bit today, specifically on the data privacy and the PII, since those things kind of came up right away as soon as they posted their site. So I have a lot to say here. So I'm going to let Alyssa kick off on her thoughts and then we go.
Yeah. I mean, I think the key thing to remember here, first of all, and let's be clear on what this is, because a lot of news has broke since, the Supreme Court declined to take up any action on the law and it went into effect. And, you know, part of the law, for those of you, if you haven't heard, I don't know, I envy your ability to be that hands off from it. But part of this law is literally that people can report doctors, clinicians, and anyone who assists somebody in getting an abortion outside of the first 6 weeks, essentially, that the law states are legal for abortion. And so shortly after that, now this wasn't done by the state of Texas. This was a private organization that's known as Texas Right to Life. Basically, right with the moment that law went into effect, they launched a website for people to report people who were assisting doctors, whatever, all that, those people that they can essentially under this new law sue in civil court. And there's a whole host of issues here, right? But what's happened in the last few days is they can't keep hosting right now. So they started with GoDaddy. GoDaddy said, hey, you know what? You're violating people's privacy, blah, blah, blah. This is a violation.
Oh, actually, I want to touch on that real quick because I was doing some deep reading about this morning. And it turns out that actual GoDaddy customers went back and told them that it violated their terms of service, specifically multiple provisions of Section 5.2, which forbids the collection of personal information about anyone without their express written consent. So you cannot just be uploading, the medical history and the medical, probably prognosis for somebody without them being aware of it. And I think that's one of the key things that is going to help us kind of maybe shut this down. I don't know.
I mean, and that remains to be seen, I guess. So, GoDaddy said, yeah, you're out. What was more interesting was that another organization you may have heard of called Epic was their second. Now that's EPIK, not EPIC, if you're thinking of your medical records, not them. No, Epic is a hosting organization. You may know them. I mean, they're the ones who took on 8chan, for instance. So, but same thing. They booted them. And from my understanding, basically the same reason is that, this website is essentially collecting information about people, personal identifiable information about people, without any of their consent. And so right off the bat, from a privacy perspective, and I know Keenan, this was one of the things that struck you, was like, wait, whoa, this is pretty huge.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely massive. And I honestly can't believe that the state, even like with, privacy in general, even thought that was a good idea to allow them to do that. My guess is that they didn't think that was a good idea to do that. They just didn't realize why. So one of the other things that was really interesting about this story to me is, hackers, we hack things. We hack things that we care about, which is it's just what we do, right? So what I found super interesting is that hacktivists took up on Reddit, on GitHub, on a couple of other sites, Twitter, and they actually started posting scripts where you could just click on the script and it would automatically submit falsified or generalized random information. For example, as soon as they put that second site up, they were immediately essentially DDoSed by all of these people submitting fake claims so that it would shut down their system. They even put one in for Iron Man, who I hear is apparently looking for an abortion. But they also put the governor of the state, right? So they basically shut that one down. And now they're having a hard time finding services that will actually let them post this. I think they're going to find more of a challenge than they thought they would on this particular topic. And I'm really interested to see kind of how they land. More importantly, I'm interested to see how the people are going to react to this violation of privacy.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so much to unpack here, right? So, I mean, you brought up this, like, probably the lowest tech version of a DDoS ever, right? Let's just get stack of people to blast this site with a bunch of traffic. We don't even need bots and botnets and things. We're just going to launch it with it. We've got enough people who are against this thing.
We have one link and we're going to tell everybody about it.
But, so it brings up a lot of different perspectives. There is the privacy perspective, right? For the people who are being victimized by this. And I will say victimized because until you prove that they were, in violation of a law, posting people's personal information to the site is problematic. That's one thing. You also have, there are some legitimate concerns because of this, low-tech DDoS, which will no doubt turn into higher-tech versions of DDoS soon enough. That's a concern for these hosting companies. So over and above their terms of service, the terms of service kind of give them this tool to use.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about this from GoDaddy's perspective or even Epic's perspective. Like, do you really want to be the organization that now is A, hosting all of that data, whether or not, you can argue about, their liability in terms of what their customers are collecting. But two, you just now as a hosting company have become a pretty large target for a DDoS. And so suddenly there's a whole other perspective of, we got to spin up our cybersecurity defenses. We got to think about what we're going to do. You know, obviously if we're hiding behind Akamai or something like that, great. Maybe that helps us, but what's that? You know, do we have to, ultimately any smart organization is going to look at that situation and say, at minimum, if we're going to have these guys on our system, we really got to think about how we're going to address this massive threat that's out there, because we are hosting somebody who is so wildly unpopular as, you know, Texas Right to Life, who, by the way, is the organization that put this whole site together.
You know, on that note, I did a little bit of research too on companies who are pushing back just against Texas in general right now. So for example, ride haul companies Lyft and Uber said on Friday that they will cover any fees for their drivers who are sued as a result of the new legislation. That's wonderful. That's outstanding. I'm glad to see that companies like GoDaddy and Uber and Lyft are coming forward to say, no, we're just, this is not okay. Also, the city of Portland is actually trying to draw up legislation to stop trade with Texas. That's huge. A city in the United States is trying to shut down trade with another state. I mean, this is going to be epic in how it rolls.
Epic. I like that. Very punny. And but that is true. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how long it takes legislatures on both sides of this issue to start to respond. I mean, obviously everyone expects, you know, legislatures in conservative states to really start going after, you know, copycat laws. But what about, you know, at a national level? And this is the one that I've been thinking about. And I'm curious from your perspective, because you've got kind of the better government background than I do. You know, what can potentially even our very, you know, different shaped national or, you know, federal government do in terms of even just privacy laws to shut this down? So Absolutely. Maybe it's not even a matter of, you know, obviously they're out there trying to address the laws, and you can argue. I mean, I don't think we want to get into the politics of right or wrong. I think you can probably guess how Keenan and I come down on this particular
maybe.
Issue.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I wasn't ready to live in The Handmaid's Tale yet. Like, I feel like we could have just not done that ever.
But from another perspective, can we use privacy and cybersecurity laws here? What do we have already, or, you know, what could get passed reasonably that would, you know, shut down things like this? Because while that doesn't take care of the law, it doesn't take care of the many issues, you know, from the law, it does at least, you know, it's a stopgap to at least, you know, kind of thwart some of this, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. So the issue here from my perspective is that when we start talking about like legislative actions or things that the White House can do, and the White House is, they made a press conference, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where they talked about this specifically and how they would be looking at every legal and legislative action that they could to, you know, deal with the abortion law itself. Now, what we're kind of talking about is different because it's privacy. We're not going to, with a privacy conversation, be able to take down that law. We're not going to be able to take on kind of Roe versus Wade. That's going to have to be something more higher in the executive branch and for them to negotiate with Congress, with the state itself, and kind of go from there. But when it comes to what we're talking about in terms of privacy, I think there's a lot that we can do. You know, there's a bill on the floor right now that talks specifically about breach verification. I think you and I have talked about that before. There's also a bill about creating an agency to do reporting. And each of these have kind of buckets of other cybersecurity things underneath them. And privacy is a real big bucket for both of them. So I think when it comes to what we can do from a legislative perspective, I think there's feet there to definitely keep them from at least going about it in the way that they are. They absolutely are violating privacy and PII laws when it comes to personal data, when it becomes physician data. You know, all of this information is very highly HIPAA protected information. So I think there's going to be a way to kind of keep them from actually keeping the website up or doing anything that resembles that. That said, the rest of that, if we're going to actually affect the law itself, that's kind of out of our hands, right? But I do think, and this is where I'd love your perspective, I do think that companies standing up and saying, no, that's not okay, and we're not okay with that, like Uber and Lyft have done, I think that says more than a lot of other things, because business is business. What do you think about that from a corporate perspective?
So this is kind of where I see like the third dynamic enter, right? I mean, because I look at, first of all, Texas Right to Life is not an IT organization. Call it a hunch. I really don't think they're an IT organization. I don't think that's their focus. And, you know, again, let's look at all of the alternative apps and other things we've seen pop up in the past year. And how has that gone for people? How has that gone for those apps? How has that gone for them in terms of security in particular? And not one has, you know, I mean, this is people scrambling to throw something out there. How much time do you really think was spent putting together this website that was going to collect all this data? So how are you protecting it? Because as you said, you're now starting to get into the fact of you're collecting data that is particularly sensitive. So from a business perspective, as I look at that, that's challenging because, okay, this is information on, you know, potentially my employees that's being, you know, affected here. Obviously, if I'm the hosting company that, you know, somewhere along the way lets them actually do this, you know, how does that impact me? So as we look at the response from the you know, ultimately the private sector, there are legitimate business reasons why organizations don't want to be a part of this. And they extend far beyond just, you know, from the public health reasons and political reasons that you and I can cite of just, you know, being decent human beings. So, you know, I think as I look at this, you know, thinking about it in that way, I don't like the precedent that something like this sets, because now you've got a situation where literally the state of Texas has made it, has codified in law the ability to sue someone in civil court for damages to yourself because they violated some law that didn't even impact you, right? They caused no damage to you. And so when I start to think about that from a business perspective, that's really terrifying, right? I mean, now that
thinking about some of the reasons why they have decided to do this, if it's based on religious belief, if it's based on, you know, party beliefs, things of that nature, those are still beliefs. They're not things that should be used to control or, you know, deal with your population.
Yeah. And that's, you know, how did we get out of the mode of, you know, law enforcement handles enforcement of the laws. And we've, you know, codified in law this idea of vigilante justice, basically, is what this comes down to. And
when you talked about precedent earlier, I think that's almost probably the biggest concern is that now I saw today, you know, they've been putting out some additional laws regarding voting rights and taking back a lot, rolling back a lot of the opening of voting rights that has been done in the last couple of years. I feel like Texas might be starting to really drive more and more of these initiatives that take away the rights of their citizens.
Yeah, I mean, and that's unfortunately, I don't think a secret. What's really interesting in this particular law is the Satanic Temple could actually potentially cause some moment of pause here. I don't know that their lawsuit will be successful, but they have claimed.
For the listeners, the Satanic Temple has actually sued Right to Life in Texas. For violating religious freedoms, was it? Or religious freedom.
They claimed religious freedom for abortion. What did they call it? Abortion ceremonies, basically. There's a better term for it, and I apologize. I'm not up to speed on the Satanic Temple and their practices. But, I mean, you know, and it does bring about the legitimate slippery slope argument. Right. And that there's a lot of those at play here when we think about it. You know, a law like this, again, going back to, and of course, you know, wrapping this all back to cybersecurity again, it's like, you know, the slippery slopes of being able to collect that type of data without permission, being able, you know, okay, what does that mean? Yep. You know, let's think about things like CCP. Boy, It's going to be that kind of day. let's say GDPR, because that's the one that for some reason I'm able to articulate faster. But, you know, CCPA, GDPR, I mean, those are things, you know, that have to be considered here. Mm-hmm. You know, do they affect Texas? No, this is decidedly something that only occurs in Texas, unless the person being complained about or whose data is being exposed is a citizen of, you know, the UK, or they're a citizen of California. Now suddenly different concerns here.
Absolutely. And as other states start to look at replicating or duplicating this in their own states, those things are going to become an issue. You can, you know, we have a lot of different nationalities here in the United States, and you could be reporting somebody that falls into the EU and definitely GDPR. And then what? You know, one of the other things I think is really interesting, and you hit on this before with, you know, they're not an IT organization. They're certainly not a cybersecurity organization. So how easy is it to hack that database and get access to it?
And that's where I was headed. You know, I'm just looking at, you know, things like Parler, okay? Or however we're pronouncing it this week, because I've heard a million different people pronounce it a million different ways. But I'll call it Parler, even though the French student in me wants to say Parler. But seriously, like, how well did that go? I mean, you know, the amount of data that was exposed day one. I mean, they launched a site. The site gets hacked. You know, I mean, there was data exposures. There were other issues with the site itself being attacked. You know, that's the reality of it here. And so that's why when we look at this and you consider that this was done by a private organization, an organization in the private sector. Mm-hmm. So you have those threats. And you don't have necessarily, not saying government is great in their cybersecurity approaches, but in a government entity that would have planned this all out as part of enforcement of the law, there's probably a little bit different approach than a Right to Life organization who just wants to get something up so they can get information so they can go harass people, which is what this turns into. Yep, and that's absolutely. also, one more thing, that's also going back to the regulation side. When we think about GDPR, CCPA, and others, mm-hmm. and these privacy laws, you know, things that wouldn't apply to law enforcement do apply here.
Yep.
So, hey, my data got submitted on your site. I submit a request to have my data removed.
Yep.
You are required by law to do that.
And then on top of that, you know, I totally agree. We're supposed to be like arguing here, but unfortunately this topic is very clear cut in terms of privacy and data, right? So I think that from the perspective of the government, I think that this is exactly what they want in Texas, though. I think that they want to have these private organizations standing up this capability so that they don't have to be responsible for it. They've only created the law, but they're not creating the after second, third order effects of what private companies or public companies do to address it. And I think that's kind of how they want this to go, because then it's not left up to legislation. It's not left up to the government to make that decision. It's up to those private companies.
And I think you're right to an extent, because they've augmented or reduced the impact on their law enforcement, who doesn't want to be sitting there outside of abortion clinics trying to figure out. Plus, the other thing that's interesting in this law is, and this is where I think it really comes from, is back to HIPAA. How do you discover whether or not the doctor found a fetal heartbeat, which is the flawed term that's used and poorly defined in this law? You have to see that person's medical records.
Right. Or you have to be in the room and witness something. So how are people getting this data?
Right. So the only way to really make this feasible is to have a private citizen who isn't subject to, you know, the same forms of HIPAA restrictions to be the one to report it. Yep. And so now you, again, this is where things get really shady in this whole thing. When we think about, you know, these data privacy protection laws, mm-hmm. you know, the way that they're applied, I mean, it's infamous, right? We've been screaming it to all the anti-vaxxers for a long time. Look, HIPAA does not apply to anyone other than your healthcare professionals and providers and yada, 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 facilities, et cetera. We get it.
But this applies directly to that.
Right. So this isn't, well, the only way that law enforcement could. So this is the reason that Texas went down this path in the first place, in my opinion, of doing this at all, was to get around that. Because otherwise, you're never going to be able to get, or you're going to have a really hard time anyway, getting probable cause to get a warrant, to get a judge to approve a warrant to go and get those medical records because you suspect somebody might have had a pregnancy that had a detectable fetal heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, let's just make it that, well, I can sue the, you know, a private person can sue and do this instead. And so we'll leverage that. And it creates all different burdens of proof. It removes the whole need for a warrant. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a very different ball game.
You know, as you know, I really pay attention to legislation a lot, and I kind of policy and legislation are my jam. So one of the first things that I thought of with this was in the planning for this particular legislation, they would have or should have included kind of a budget of how this would play out and what they would support it with and. But there's not a lot of budget detail to this. It's just, we're going to provide this and, oh, by the way, private citizens can sue. And then we don't have to deal with it, right? We don't have to deal with all of those things. I totally agree with you that it's a HIPAA get around. And it's one of the first steps, and the ACLU said this in the past couple of days, one of the first steps towards a much, much worse kind of reporting capability in Texas.
Yeah. And that's, you know, so when I think about it from a corporate perspective or an individual perspective, this is where this really starts to become alarming, because you now have codified in law, again, circumvention of the Bill of Rights. And that should bother everybody.
Absolutely.
Including corporations who, as we know now, are human, or are apparently people. So, or citizens.
You know what I also fear? I fear that there are going to be a lot more organizations like Texas Right to Life that are going to pop up in attempts to try to do this. I think new businesses are going to be created. I think that's also maybe part of the plan, is that we create an entire business line around this kind of thing, which again, ethically, morally, is not okay. But if they can do it and they're going to make money off of it as an entrepreneur, I know a lot of entrepreneurs with much less moral capacity than I have.
For-profit prison companies exist. Need I say more?
Yeah, no, totally.
So yeah, and that's where we're headed. And so I think where we can tie in, you know, privacy to this, cybersecurity to this, to really limit, you know, the reach of what is able to be done. It's not just a moralistic argument at all. No. And it's something that, you know, very much from protecting people's privacy, something we erode every day. This is one of those key things we need to be aware of, because moving forward, this is only got the propensity to grow if this stands. Yep.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that also I find really interesting about this is the states that have come forward, we talked a little bit before, that have come forward and looking for ways to kind of replicate this. They all have very different reasons why. I think that, you know, when we talk about Florida coming forward and trying to do this and other states that I've heard coming out, I think that each of them have their own kind of reason why they think this is a good idea. Maybe it's religious, maybe it's political, maybe it's neither of those things. What worries me even more is all of the states that could potentially use this to go down that ACLU rabbit hole that they're afraid of, right? So how do we do something? And I love your idea about doing it at the, at the congressional level, at the executive level. How do we put in place cybersecurity and data, kind of legislation that will actually protect against this happening?
I mean, I think it starts with, just think about what is being discussed. I mean, there's been discussion of, we need a federal privacy law. Okay. You take the CCPA or the GDPR model and you apply that federally, that complicates this for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because again, now that it's no longer a government entity, but even if it was a government entity, it's not a law enforcement entity specifically. People have a right to ask for their data to be removed. You can't collect that data in the first place without their permission.
Yep.
And so this is where I suggest early on, like, this is what one of the key areas I think the administration needs to be focused on, because not only does it undo this, but obviously it's much needed privacy regulation that we need in this country anyway.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of 50 different privacy laws is insane. And I know the conservative side of our political spectrum doesn't like new regulations. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't that be more effective to have one federal regulation to have to write to instead of 50 separate ones, depending on what state you're doing business in?
So, oh, absolutely. But then we get to the oldest argument in our country is state rights, right?
Exactly.
And I think when we start talking about state rights, we go into a whole other category of, you know, of issues and trauma that have happened over the course of 200 years. And I'm not sure we're ever going to be able to actually affect that. But I do think, and maybe this is my renegade spirit, I think that we can have public influence. I think we can have corporate influence. I think we can have a lot of influence on the privacy part of this conversation so that we actually get to something that makes sense that is going to prevent. And I'm not sure about this. Do you know, is Right for Life a 501c3 or a
Texas
nonprofit?
Right to Life or a Texas yeah. Right to Life? I don't even know. You know,
okay, we're going to look that up.
Right there.
So I thought about
that. Yeah, I'm looking right now just to see. Because, I don't know for sure if they are or not, but that does bring in some other interesting questions, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does look like they're a nonprofit. They claim to be anyway. So
I don't even know where to start with that. There's so many things.
And that's, you know, and I kind of sit here and I'm thinking like, okay, you know, some of the other news that broke this week, right? Proton Mail. The big hubbub about Proton Mail.
Yep.
And, you know, how they marketed, you know, we don't log anything, yada, yada, yada. And then somehow we can, this is, I just don't think we've heard the end of this story yet, but
allegedly,
the Swiss police, Swiss law enforcement came to them and told them they needed to start logging data on specific individuals, which then somehow got from, you know, Switzerland, it got supplied to the French government or French law enforcement or Interpol or whoever. You know, there's a lot of stories out there. I haven't seen one definitive answer yet to how this all went down. But think about even that in terms of what we're looking at here as we start to empower organizations like these nonprofits or anyone else to be involved in law enforcement.
And be involved directly in a person's complete and utter what is supposed to be privacy.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is where I sit here and I just struggle with it. How, you know, how we can take this. We're not going to win. You know, this country's too divided on a moralistic level.
Yeah.
You know, politically, morally, religiously, we're very evenly divided, unfortunately. And so I think that's going to be the key. How do we leverage?
We've got a couple of minutes left. I know we're kind of rambling and we haven't even got to a good argument yet. Damn it. But that's okay. So in everything that we're kind of talking about right now, from your perspective as somebody in a very corporate position, from a very business perspective, what do you think is the best thing that we can do to actually to curb this, to actually stop this part of the privacy and data issue from dragging out?
So I think it needs a twofold approach. And God, boy, here we go again. Alyssa's riding the fence right down the middle. We need the legislative side of it, right? I mean, there absolutely, without a doubt in my book, there's got to be a government response to this. And the only way it's going to happen is from a federal level, because we're not going to change Texas anytime soon.
Yep.
Texas is Texas. In SpongeBob's words, dumb old Texas. I love you, Texas, but no, you are bothering me right now. You know, and I just saw we had Philip Wiley here with us. So
I got so excited. Hi, Philip.
Well, I'm not insulting you, please, Texans. It's not my goal. But I think, you know, from private industry perspective, again, there needs to be a certain level of responsibility for people's privacy and taking that responsibility seriously and seeing ultimately the business value in that. Because I think that's what will ultimately undo websites like this. It won't undo the law. It will not undo the law. I think we've beaten that horse to death. But it does undo the idea that we can just effortlessly empower the citizenry to be law enforcement and to take on that role beyond what was ever intended in our, you know, in our Constitution.
Yeah, I'm so conflicted on this. I really am. I don't disagree with everything that you've said, but I think we need more of, and I think this might be the lightning rod to do this. I think our country really needs more of a focus on that privacy. We need a GDPR. We need something large and sweeping that is a baseline for all of the states. And it just includes basic HIPAA, basic PII, basic, if I didn't tell you to put my stuff on this website, you can't. Because right now, even though states, you know, states have varying levels of degrees when it comes to privacy, I think that we're never going to win the right to have states not get a vote in this, right? We're never going to win. States have rights. States have this. States have that. Of course they do, 100%, and for good reason. However, this is a huge deal. This is something that doesn't affect just this story. It affects almost everything in our lives. When we start talking about larger companies who are hosting data, who I think it was Microsoft recently that had a data storage breach, and that's been fixed and everybody's working to make sure it's good. But these things happen. So we need to get ahead of this when it comes to the information that we have on every single citizen of the US. We have to have that.
And that's the compromise, right? I mean, it's got to be that ability of private organizations to be motivated, which means it's got to have business value. The business value is there. It just takes a more mature look at, okay, how are we actually going to drive business value from this? And so there we sit.
Wow. This was kind of fun.
This was.
And we didn't actually super argue. Like last time we talked together, we were like, no, that's BS. But this was nice.
We'll get there. Oh, we're not always going to be this nice. I promise you, next week we will have a topic. We'll see what's in the news this week, but we'll find something. We'll get that government versus private, and we're going to go. So, Absolutely. Yeah, we started off a little lighter than I thought it might. I thought that might be, this might be a touchy topic. It probably is for our listeners. Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably got listeners out there who...
We're kind of closer on the same page than...
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not surprised by that, because we both have similar ethic and moral issues. And at the end of the day, this is definitely one of those. So... and of course, the privacy issue, we need to do better.
Awesome. Well, with that, I think that's about it for this pilot episode. They're only going to get crazier from here. Or by crazier, I mean better. Yeah. That's what I mean. But yeah, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It's been a blast, Keenan. I am looking forward to next week. Remember, we will be back here every week, 3 p.m. Eastern. That's noon Pacific. If you're in European time zones, I'm sorry, I don't know how to make the conversion, but I love you just the same. Thanks for being here.
And like she said, we will be here, but you can also watch episodes or subscribe to episodes on the ITSP website, and we'll put a link in for that. Thank you so much from The Compromise Live.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Compromise with Alyssa Miller and Keenan Skelly. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.